You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Devil's Tool. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Twice in the last 2 years, millions of U.S. citizens have been shocked to learn that their government security system has been greatly damaged. This damage has not been done by adversarial or hostile governments from without, but by U.S. citizens working deceptively and treacherously from within. Last November, the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and other prestigious publications reported that a top-ranking security agent was arrested. This turncoat was the highest-ranking CIA employee ever to be charged with espionage. This man was arrested for selling to another country some of the most secret security information of the U.S. And what makes this event even more tragic is that this deed of deception followed immediately upon the heels of another scandal whereby an intelligence employee betrayed his country big time. According to the New York Times, this betrayal led to the execution of every top intelligence officer in one part of the world. At least 10 innocent people lost their lives as a result of this man's dastardly deed against his own country. Now, it's not our intent to discuss the legitimacy of any nation's intelligence operation, nor are we interested in discussing the often controversial CIA. Every nation has, and every nation needs its own intelligence system. However, what we are reflecting on today is the question that so many people are now asking, why? What would cause a citizen of any country to betray his own nation? Here again on its front page, the New York Times reported that after endless research, much probing, and lengthy discussion, the U.S. magistrate in Alexandria, Virginia said that the man arrested for betraying his country was not motivated by ideology, but by greed. Simply stated, the love and the lust for money so overcame this man that he was willing to do anything to get his greedy hands on more money. Now, these bizarre accounts of traitors betraying their own nation may surprise and even stun some of us. But let's not forget another situation of betrayal that is so incredible that this horrific event has been recalled, discussed, debated, and preached upon every year for nearly 2,000 years. Here, of course, we are referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, who was also betrayed for money. The man responsible for the betrayal of Jesus was Judas. Consequently, the infamous name of Judas will live forever in history. Again, we ask, why did this all happen? The Bible reveals that it was, again, greed. G-R-E-E-D, greed. Judas, you see, betrayed Jesus, the sinless Son of God and the Savior of the world, all for only a few pieces of silver. The story of the terrible consequences of the unchecked greed of Judas is recorded in the Bible. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read where, just before his crucifixion, our Lord Jesus had celebrated his Last Supper with his closest disciples. And then together they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, just outside of Jerusalem. Here Jesus spent much time in prayer. At one point, the Bible explains, Jesus returned from prayer to speak to his disciples. And it was at that point that while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up. He was accompanied by a great multitude, armed with sharp swords and swinging clubs. This mob had been sent by the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, of course, in order to carry out his dastardly deed of betraying Jesus, sometime earlier, Judas had conspired with the local religious leaders. He told them that he would give them a sign. Whomever I shall kiss, Judas said, he is the one. Seize him. And so then, when the opportunity came, the Bible explains, Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi!" Then Judas kissed Jesus. Immediately Jesus said to Judas, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then the mob had their signal, and immediately the club-swinging mob laid their hands on Jesus and arrested him. They led him away almost immediately, and without mercy, the authorities then began to interrogate Jesus throughout the night. When morning had come, the Bible explains, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him, and they led him away, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the local governor. And where was Judas, the betrayer, the one who got Jesus into this mess? What was he doing all these hours? The Bible explains that when Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that the Savior had been condemned, Judas felt remorse. He wanted to return the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And so Judas said to them, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But the chief priests and the elders, they were not impressed. They said, "What is that to us?" Judas then threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed. Judas went away, the Bible says, and he hanged himself. Now, I don't know how religious you feel that you are, but I think you would agree with me that this is certainly the saddest story of betrayal and deception in the entire history of mankind. Not only did the devil get Judas to betray Jesus, but the devil entangled Judas also. And we have to say that Judas himself was destroyed by his own sin. Oh yes, you and I can clearly see that Judas did indeed betray Christ. Judas set up our Lord. However, before you and I lay all the blame of Christ's death on Judas, and before we puff ourselves up with self-righteousness for the sake of our own soul, we need to get the full picture of Christ's death, especially as it is recorded in the Bible. You see, Isaiah the prophet explains it all, and he does not beat around the bush. Describing Jesus' coming betrayal and death, Isaiah says that it was our griefs. Yes, it was our griefs that Jesus himself bore, and it was our sorrows that Jesus carried to the crucifixion cross. Now, my friend, this changes the entire picture for us. No longer can you and I blame Judas as the only one guilty of the death of Christ. Isaiah the prophet places the blame where it belongs. Jesus died because of your sin and my sin. Jesus was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord, the Bible says, has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Jesus. And so then, my friend, it is time for you and for me to be brutally honest. What about the sinful way that you or I may have treated our parents? And what about the family fights over settling the real estate and the will? What about your casual indifference to daily devotions? And what about your failure and my failure to help some of our neighbors who are experiencing great difficulties? These are sins. But praise be to God. Yes, praise God. In the Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, we read that Christ was offered up on the altar of the cross to bear the sins of many. The Apostle Peter also explains that Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. The Apostle Paul echoes this same scriptural truth when he states that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. And so then, when you and I look at our lives and when we see how the sinful betrayal of Judas ended in such a terrible, terrible tragedy, we begin then to understand the consequences of our sin. Judas realized that he had sinned. He said so. He said openly, and he said it publicly. "I have sinned," he said, "and betrayed innocent blood." Simply expressing remorse, however, is not enough. It was not enough for Judas, and it is not enough for you or for me. This only leads to despair and destruction. You see, when you and I sin, God desires that we repent of our sin. And by faith, God desires that we trust completely in the sin-cleansing and life-giving and life-saving blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul talks about this God-pleasing sorrow and repentance in his letter to the Corinthian church when he writes, "I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. However, the sorrow of the world produces only death. This, of course, was the case for Judas. Indeed, he was sorry. He was very sorry for his sin. But he did not look to Jesus for help, for healing, for forgiveness, and for salvation. Consequently, Judas was lost forever. Maybe, my friend, at some point in your life, maybe even recently, you have felt very much like Judas did. You realize that you have failed and you have sinned against God, but you don't know what to do about it. Maybe even you now feel that what you have done is so bad that God will not forgive you. The psalmist says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. But thanks be to our God of grace. We don't have to do what Judas did. We don't have to destroy ourselves. No, my friend, you don't have to end it all." Listen to your loving and gracious Heavenly Father as He speaks to you today through the Apostle John. "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are only deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. However, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so then today, no matter whether you are in the United States or in Canada or in the Caribbean or any of the many other places where this message is heard, and when you hear how people have betrayed their own government, you may certainly be incensed and even angry that someone could be so low down and so ugly in his acts, like the two turncoats who recently betrayed their own government. But it is also exactly at this point that you and I need to face the real facts. It's important, you see, that we keep up with national and international news events. But it is even more important that we listen to what God is saying to us. You and I need to examine our own lives. And then in sincere repentance, we need to confess our failures before God. On your own, you cannot do this. But through His Spirit, God will enable you. God will enable you to not only confess your sins, but He will also empower you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save you from your sins. Praise God. Oh yes, my friend, praise your gracious God that He is willing to forgive you all your sins and to take you back and to heal you and to give you a new life and a new joy. Oh Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name, forgive the sins of all those who come to You today in sincere repentance. Heal them, O Lord, and give them strength and give them a hope that is in Christ eternal. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.